Why don't you go ahead and find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all right? John chapter 14 is our introductory scriptures that we've been using throughout this entire series that we've been doing on the Holy Spirit. But we want to start there, but then we want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read John 14, 16 and 17. The promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then today we're going to look at the purpose of the Holy Spirit through our lives to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? John 14, verses 16, 17, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. And Father, we trust You today to open the eyes of our understanding today, to make the Scriptures real to our hearts and our minds, that we might experience the promises that are made to us in the Bible. Thank You, God, for teaching us life in this place today, and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want you to notice just one thing again real quickly out of verse 17 where Jesus says at the end of that passage of Scripture, He says the Holy Spirit abides with you and will be in you. And we talked about the fact last week how there's a twofold work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want you to do me a favor today. Would you do me a favor this morning? As I'm sharing this Bible study with you today, I want you to think about this Bible study and the words and the message that's coming to you. And I want you to receive it as though it's just for you, okay? I want you to make it your own today. I want you to grab the message and make it your own. And I want us to think as we're hearing these words, I want us to think, God is speaking to me about something that He wants to do in me and something that He really wants to do through me as His child. And I want us to see the Word with that kind of perspective as we look at it today. We've talked about, for a great deal of time now, we've talked about the things that the Holy Spirit can do in us, the transformation that He makes when we come to Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. He comes to give us strength so that we can endure the tests and trials and tribulations of life. Not only endure, but overcome these things and always wind up in a place of victory no matter what we've been through. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 16, about verse 19, He says, the gates of hell will not overpower the church. They will not overcome the church. And so victory is promised to us by the strength of the Lord no matter what it is we might be facing or what it is we might be going through. We're talking about the wisdom of the Lord, that the Spirit gives us the wisdom of God. We hear that verse of Scripture often that says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard. And we still conclude in our time, we'll still conclude that nobody can know the things that God is going to give to us. And did you know that's not at all what that verse of Scripture means in the New Testament context of 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Because that same passage goes on to say, those things that eye hasn't seen, that ear hasn't heard. That same passage goes on to say, but to us the Holy Spirit has been given to reveal the things to us that God wants to do in our lives. The things that our natural eye can't see, our natural ear can't perceive and can't understand. Yet in our spirit, God wants to show us who He wants to be and what He wants to do in our lives. As we go through this and through the rest of this morning, when we get to 1 Corinthians 12 in just a moment, I want to share, as we look at the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm going to be changing course here in just a second, I promise. When we get over into those kinds of things, I want to share with you some personal experiences that I've had over the years. And here's why I want to do that. I want you to understand, I want all of us to understand that the things that we read about in the Bible are the things that God wants to do in all of our lives today. The things that we're looking at, the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God wants to manifest those gifts in every Christian's life. If we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if we'll hear His voice, if we'll be obedient to what He says to do, God can do awesome and incredible things through every one of our lives for the glory of His Son. And so I'm going to be sharing some personal experiences that I've had over the years in these gifts of the Spirit, how God has manifested these things in my life, just to get you to see these are things the Holy Spirit wants to manifest in everybody's life. One of the reasons I want to do that is because I want us to understand today, listen, I want us to understand that our faith, our Christianity, should be more than just theoretical, certainly, more than just theological, more than just intellectual. That our Christianity should be experiential. The things that we read about in the Bible, we should be experiencing these things in our lives as Christians by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So everything that we talk about today, I want you to think this way. When we talk about the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, miracles, healings, all of these kinds of things, I want you to think, God, I want you to do that in my life. Okay? Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1 tells us this, Paul says this, desire earnestly the spiritual gifts. In other words, you should want these things in your life because God can use these things in your life to make all of us better witnesses for Jesus Christ. Okay, so He gives us strength to make it through whatever we're going through. He gives us wisdom so that we can know the will of God and know what it is God wants us to do. The Bible said He gives us comfort. He comforts us in all of our afflictions. God changes our mourning into dancing, our sorrows into joy. Don't you want some of that? Listen, there, right there, you should say this. God, do that in my life. Change my mourning into dancing. Change my sorrow into joy. I just give you a testimonial witness right now of that. Probably one of the most significant times I experienced that in my life was back in 1977 when I was electrocuted, and you've all heard this story before. But when I was electrocuted and would lose my left hand, the use of my right hand, and I'm in the hospital in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm there for 2 months. We're there for the first couple of weeks as they're trying to figure out whether they're going to save my hand, and to finally get to the place where they realize there's nothing left to save. And so they're going to have to amputate my hand. And so the doctors, and listen, this is understandable. From their perspective, they know what amputees typically go through. There is typically, when you lose anything, there's grief that follows. You lose a job, you lose a friend, you lose a spouse, you lose whatever it is. When you lose something, there's always grief that follows. The same thing happens when you lose a limb or something like that. And the doctors know this. And so they're going to prepare us for the possibilities of what we may be going to experience in the days, the weeks, the months even that we're looking at in the future. And so they're letting Becky, and you have to understand, when I was electrocuted, Becky's 5 months pregnant with Ben, okay? And so the doctors are every bit as much concerned about Becky and her pregnancy at that time as they are about me. And so they're very concerned for us and what we're going through at that time. And so they're trying to prepare us for what we may be looking at. And so the doctors begin to prepare us. You know, there could be deep depression, great times of sorrow, great times of sadness, and then great times of anger, where he may just flip out and do anything, and you expect anything to happen out of anger that he feels because of what's happened to him. I need you to know today that Becky and I experienced none of that. God turned our sorrow into joy by the strength of His presence in that hospital, in that season in our life. The Holy Spirit just came upon us, and we were able, in spite of what we were going through, to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts that became our strength and helped us through that season in our life. I was in a burn unit the first month I was there, and it's a room, I don't even know how big it is. It had probably 6 or 8 beds in there. It's intensive care for burn victims. And so I'm in there when we're going through all of this and the amputation is done. And yet, in spite of it all, we're laughing, we're talking, we're having fun, we're making jokes, all kinds of things are going on, you know. And there's this guy across the way, and he called my mother over to him, and he said, "Miss Parrish, I think your son's lost his mind." Now, that's another whole conversation we could have, all right? But we're talking about in the context of having suffered through electrocution and amputation. And because of what the Lord did in all of our hearts in that time, Mom had an opportunity to witness to that man about Jesus. He hadn't lost his mind. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. And so I'm just telling you, our Christianity should be experiential in ways like that. We should experience God's grace and favor and joy and peace and those kinds of things when we go through them in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you found that, let me go ahead and read that passage. We looked at that last week. I want to turn a corner now and begin to talk about, rather than what the Holy Spirit can do in us, we want to start talking now about what the Holy Spirit can do through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I got to get you to understand again, listen, this is about every single one of us, that the Holy Spirit can do these things through us. And let's understand that all of these things are ultimately going to serve the purpose of either positioning us or equipping us or in some way, shape, or form using us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Because that's what it's all about, man. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. The Holy Spirit is all about revealing and glorifying Jesus. And so all of these gifts that we talk about, these things have, there's nothing in these gifts that's about glorifying a human being. It's always about pointing people to Jesus. It's always about glorifying Jesus Christ. It's always about drawing people to the Savior. It's always about opening a door, providing a witness so that people can hear about Jesus. That's what all of these things is all about ultimately. And any of these things can happen in the life of every single one of us. Let me read the list for you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 simply says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Made the point last week. Most Christians today are just completely unaware about spiritual gifts. They don't know what they are. They're not sure if they can. They really exist. They don't know how they express themselves. They certainly don't. Most Christians certainly would say, "Well, you know, I could never. Well, there you go. Did you know you're right? You could never. But the Holy Spirit can, and that's the point. The Holy Spirit can. So we read about the gifts in verse 7. To each one, notice, to each one. Not to a select few, not to a hierarchy, not to an elite group, but to each one, to every believer. is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings. Notice the word gifts is a plural there. Gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things. The same Holy Spirit works every one of these gifts into and through the life of the church, of the believer. End of verse 11. Distributing to each one individually just as He wills. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit who decides what gift He's going to manifest through believers in any given circumstance or situation. We don't decide what gift is going to manifest through our lives. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is the one who manifests these gifts through us. And He does it as He wills, not as we will. Let's take a look at these gifts then in verses 8, 9, and 10. And just identify these gifts. And again, just for several of these things, I just want to give you some examples of them from the Bible. And then some examples where I have experienced these things in my life for myself. In other words, for example, in verse 8 where he says, the first one, for to one is given the word of wisdom. Let's start right there. What is a word of wisdom? Please understand the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits. All of these things are revelatory gifts. What do I mean by that? I mean, these are gifts that we come to have the knowledge of because the Holy Spirit reveals something to us about a certain particular situation. Let me clarify with some examples. We're talking about a specific word regarding a specific situation. Wisdom, wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and do the right thing with it. Wisdom has to do about doing the right thing, okay? So a word of wisdom, what examples might we find from the scriptures there? Well, again, it's learning, it's knowledge, it's revelation that it's revealed to you what you need to do. There was a time, for example, when Peter was in a discussion with some of the religious leaders about paying taxes, okay? Temple tax in particular, or any kind of tax. And Peter came to Jesus' defense and he says, well, of course we pay taxes. We're supposed to do that. And then he goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, do you pay taxes? Jesus gives him a teaching, but then he says this. Now watch this. He says, Peter, I want you to do something so that you can pay our taxes. He says, Peter, I want you to go to the lake. I want you to catch a fish. And the first fish you pull out of that lake, I want you to open its mouth. And you're going to find some money in the mouth of that fish. You can take that money and you can pay our taxes. Okay? So this is divine revelation that Jesus gives to Peter about what it is he's supposed to do. Wisdom to know what to do. A word of wisdom. You got to know Peter would have never figured that out on his own. Peter would have never just sat around and thought, you know what? I'm going to go fishing. I got to pay my taxes. I think I'll go fishing. And I think I'll look in that first fish's mouth and see if there's any money in it. No, he'd have never figured that out on his own, but because Jesus told him what to do, he did it, took the money, paid their taxes. Jesus revealed to Peter a word of wisdom, what he needed to do to pay his taxes, okay? So a word of wisdom. We looked at a couple of things last week when we began looking at some of these miracles taking place in the book of Acts. For example, when he told Ananias in Acts chapter 9 to go to Straight Street and minister to a terrorist down there. The Holy Spirit told him to do that. He would not have done that otherwise, because Ananias knew that the Saul he was being sent to was in fact a terrorist who may have him arrested and thrown in jail. But the Spirit bade him go. And he obeyed the Holy Spirit when he said, "Go to Straight Street, minister to a terrorist, lay your hands on him and heal him of blindness." A word of wisdom to Philip. When the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go down to a desert road. There's an Ethiopian eunuch down there. He's reading the Bible. He doesn't know what it means. Go down there and preach Jesus to him and get him saved." It was a word of wisdom. Knowledge to know what, revelatory knowledge to know what to do in a particular situation. That is a word of wisdom. I think for me personally, I think a word of wisdom, a revelatory word that came to me in a particular situation to know what to do, was when God spoke to me concerning building the victory houses across the way over there. We had many times helped people in motels and paid motel expenses for people who had no place to go. And so as I'm praying and talking to the Lord about the situation, is I had been to a motel on a Sunday afternoon, and I saw in this motel room this young man with a wife and two children in a motel room trying his best to hold his family together. And your heart breaks in a situation like that. And I came away from that motel and I just thought to myself, I said, "God, there needs to be a place in our community where a family can go when they've had a difficult situation like this, be able to stay together while they rebuild their lives." Oh, you know, guys can go to the Salvation Army, or the ladies can go to the Y, or individuals can crash on somebody's couch, but families need some place. And I'm driving down the highway coming home after being at that motel with that family, and I'm thinking, "God, there needs to be a place." And as big as life, I hear in the depths of my soul, simple phrase, and I'm convinced it was God. He simply said to me, "You built it. You built it." I didn't have any clue what that meant or how it was going to take place, but I knew that I was going to be involved in it some kind of way. God spoke to my heart. He revealed wisdom to me to fix the problem in our community of no place for families to go. Build a house. They need a house? Build a house. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It was revelatory to me, I can tell you that. Because at that time, this was before we had the land, we had the buildings, before we had anything. All we had was an idea. The next one is a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. And again, this is a revelatory word by the Holy Spirit revealing truth about a person or about a situation. Best example in the Bible is in John chapter 4, when Jesus goes to meet the woman at the well in Samaria. And he's wanting to reveal himself to her. He picks up a conversation with this woman. They talk about spiritual things and where to worship and all of these kinds of things. And then in the middle of the conversation, Jesus says this to the woman. Now, you got to understand, he didn't know this. I sort of say didn't know this woman from Adam. Probably ought to say didn't know this woman from Eve. But anyway, he never met this woman before. He never talked to this woman before. He didn't know anything about her life. And yet in the middle of the conversation, Jesus says to this woman, "I want you to go get your husband for me." She says, "Sir, I don't have a husband." And Jesus said this. Again, no previous knowledge of her whatsoever. And Jesus says this, "You've said rightly that you don't have a husband, because you've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband." And she knew. In fact, her response was, "I perceive you're a prophet." She's getting the idea, you see. But it's a revelatory word of truth about that woman that he had no other way of knowing, but the Holy Spirit revealed it in that situation and in that instance to Jesus at that time. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 12 and look back at Acts chapter 14. I'll show you another one from the scriptures of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. This is Paul's first missionary journey. And he's at a city called, we'll call it Lystra, since you don't know how to pronounce it either. We'll call it Lystra, L-Y-S-T-R-A. And this is where Paul is. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Get the picture. Paul is preaching. There's a man sitting there. He's never walked a day in his life. Okay, he was born with this defect and he's never walked a day in his life. And it says in verse 9, this man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who when he had fixed his gaze on him, now look at the way this verse ends here, and had seen that he had faith to be made well. What does that even mean? I mean, I'm looking at you right now. I don't know if there's faith in there or not. I can't see it with my physical eyes. I don't know. But see, that's not what the scriptures is talking about. When it says he had seen that the man had faith, the word seen doesn't necessarily mean with physical eyes. It can mean to perceive. To perceive. And Paul, as he's preaching, sees somebody sitting there and he understands in his heart that that person has faith to receive a miracle and be healed. How does he see that? How does he know that? How does he understand that? The Holy Spirit had to reveal it to him. It's a word of knowledge by the Spirit to Paul about that man. Paul, that dude's ready. He's got the faith. He's going to receive. And he's going to be healed. It's a word of knowledge, a revelatory word speaking to a particular situation. Again, just an example from my own life and my own situation. Probably the most obvious one for me. And there have been many times, to be honest with you, particularly in counseling sessions when God will show me something about a particular situation, particular person, or something like that. And I've shared some of those before. But probably the most obvious for my life, the obvious, most obvious word of knowledge that I've ever experienced was the first time the Lord called me to preach a sermon. Not call me into the ministry per se. I guess it was the beginning of that. But the first time that He spoke to me about Him wanting me to preach. And you know, God has a way of making His will known to you. And He has a way of getting you to do His will. And I can remember what it was a year or two after my injury, and I'm sitting in the church that we were raised in, and it was what they called Layman's Sunday in that church. And what that means is one of the men would bring the message in church that Sunday morning. And so I'm sitting there listening as whoever the gentleman was bringing the message that day. And as I am sitting there, I heard a shout from heaven. That's the only way I can describe it. I heard a shout from heaven. I'm surprised nobody else heard it. But you know, sometimes God has to shout at you to get your attention. And as I'm sitting there listening to this man preach, I hear these words in my heart. And I'll just tell you, it shook me to my core. It shook me. Because most of you know that I am naturally speaking, an introvert. He doesn't like public speaking. But as I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the man preach, I hear this shout in my heart. And I'm convinced it was the Spirit of the Lord. And God said to me, next year, you're going to bring the message for Layman's Sunday at the church. And I said, no, Lord. Oh, God, no. I'll do anything else. Please don't ask me to do that. I wrestled with God over that thing. Every couple of weeks, I would be reminded. It would come back to me. You're going to bring the message at Layman's Sunday. No, please, God, please, let's do something else. Let somebody else do it, God. I can't do that. I wrestled with God probably the first 6 months just telling God no. After that, I began to think. I would say no, but then I would begin to think, what would I say if I actually did what God's asking me? Well, actually, and let me just say this. God never said, would you please? God said, next year you will speak for Layman's Sunday. And I began to think, what would I say if I were to get up to speak to the congregation on Layman's Sunday? And I wrestled with God for months and months, and we finally got into the next year, and it's getting close, and I know Layman's Sunday's got to be around the corner. It's been a year since we had a last one. It's got to be coming up. And I wrestled with God, and I wrestled with God, and I finally told the Lord, God, if you want me to do this, then I will do it. The next Sunday at church, two of the elders came up to me after the service and said, Ken, we've talked among ourselves, and we would like for you to bring the message for Layman's Sunday this year. I'm running out of time already, but I want you to see that God will speak in supernatural ways to and through every one of us. This has nothing to do with spiritual maturity or any significance of any kind for us. It's about the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do through us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And God can use any of us, and He'll speak to any of us in these divine and supernatural ways. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. The next one is faith. He gives to some faith. Now please understand, this is not saving faith. That's not what we're talking about here in the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When he talks about the gift of faith in 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 9, he's talking about that supernatural faith to receive the supernatural work of God. In other words, that man who sat there that Paul was preaching to on that day in Acts chapter 14, and Paul perceived that there was faith in his heart to be made well, it's very likely that the faith that he had came supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. He was given the gift of faith to receive the miracle that God wanted to give to him in a healing. And so faith can be a gift of the Holy Spirit to equip us and prepare us for the things that He's wanting to do next in our lives. I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit no doubt gave us faith in that time when I was electrocuted. And I lost my left hand, the use of my right hand. It was a season in our lives, and I'll just tell you this, before I was electrocuted, I was struggling. I've got a wife, I've got a 2-year-old son, my wife is 5 months pregnant, I'm working at a barely over minimum wage job. We're going further behind month after month. I'm almost in panic mode about what I'm going to do. I can't quit work to go to school to get a better job. I've got to have an income to pay the bills that are coming in. What do you do? And then I get electrocuted. I lose my hand. I lose my ability to do any job at all. And the Lord visited us. And we had the joy of the Lord. And did you know, from that time forward, I never doubted that everything was going to be all right. Before I was electrocuted, I was on the verge of panic every day. Afterwards, I knew everything was going to be all right. God was going to take care of us. God was going to see to it that our needs were met. I had a similar experience when Ben was... I'm going to have to stop with this one. I had a similar experience when Ben was diagnosed with cancer. Some of you remember that. 18 years ago now, Ben was diagnosed with cancer. And that's a hard thing to hear, that your child has cancer. You know, you expect your parents or something, end of life and this kind of thing, but your child who's in his... How old are you now? You're 29, okay. He's in his 20s, and he's got cancer. And I can remember praying about it and talking to the Lord about it. And I don't know if I had read in Genesis 22 recently, or just the story of Genesis 22 came back to mind, and maybe the Lord reminded him. I can remember how it all played out. In Genesis 22 is the story of Abraham being willing to sacrifice his son Isaac to the Lord. And because Abraham had that kind of faith and was willing to make his son an offering to the Lord, God spared his son and gave him back to him. And when I thought about that story, in my heart of hearts, I knew there was a message in that story for me, and it was simply this. God was saying through that story to me, give me your son, and I'll give him back to you. And from that day moving forward, through all of the chemo, all of the radiation, all of the other tests, all of the other examinations, 10 years, I never doubted for a minute Ben was going to be fine. God didn't do a supernatural miracle, but he used modern medicine and he made my son well. And I never doubted that. From the minute I gave him to God, I knew God was going to give him back to me. I think I might have even forgotten how serious Ben's situation was. But I was reminded over the course of what Ben was going through. I heard about a pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who was diagnosed with the exact same cancer that Ben had. And when I heard about that diagnosis, in my mind I thought, oh, he'll be all right. They can heal this. He won't have a problem with that. And several months later, this man was gone. And I realized just how serious what Ben was going through really was. And what God had done for Ben, and how God had given faith to just believe that through it all, ultimately, everything is going to be all right. God's going to take care of it. I got to stop. We'll have to finish up the rest of these next week. But I'm just trying to tell you guys, these spiritual gifts, God wants to give them to every Christian. If our hearts and minds are willing, if we're sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, if we're willing to do what the Holy Spirit says to do, brother and sister, I just challenge you today. Let's make a decision. Whatever we feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to our heart, we're going to say yes to the Spirit of God. And then we're going to watch and see what God can do through any of our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you again for your word tonight. I thank you, God, for speaking to our hearts and reminding us of the things that you want to do in and through all of our lives as your children. And I thank you for reminding every one of us that we are candidates to be used even in supernatural ways if we'll listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and just be willing to do whatever it is He says to do. And so, Holy Spirit, we say, welcome. Come into our lives in the fullness of your power, your grace, your glory. Have your way in us. Do your will through us, that Jesus would be magnified and that the lost would be saved. We thank you for it in His name. Amen and amen.